If I fall asleep, just let me go to sleep and try to call me back on the webcam, okay?
If you fall asleep, I should let you fall asleep?
Mm-hmm. But then call me back on the webcam to try and wake me up.
Okay. Alright, so we're continuing chapter 21 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, called Hermione's Secret. And if you remember, they had just gone back in time, and Harry was getting kind of confused. And they just got down to Hagrid's. So Dumbledore, Fudge, the old committee member, and McNair the Executioner were coming down the steps. "We're about to come out," Hermione breathed. And sure enough, moments later, Hagrid's back door opened and Harry saw himself, Ron, and Hermione walking out of it with Hagrid. It was, without a doubt, the strangest sensation of his life, standing behind the tree and watching himself in the pumpkin patch. "It's okay, Beaky, it's okay," Hagrid said to Buckbeak. Then he turned to Harry, Ron, and Hermione. "Go on, get going." "Hagrid, we can't. Tell them what really happened. They can't kill him. Go. It's bad enough without you lot in trouble and all." Harry watched Hermione in the pumpkin patch throw the invisibility cloak over him and Ron. "Go quick, don't listen." Then there was a knock at Hagrid's front door. The execution party had arrived. Hagrid turned around and headed back to his cabin, leaving the back door ajar. Harry watched the grass flatten in patches all over the cabin and heard three pairs of feet retreating. He, Ron, and Hermione had gone, but the Harry and Hermione hidden in the trees could now hear what was happening inside the cabin through the back door. "Where's the beast?" came the cold voice of McNair.
Outside, Hagrid croaked.
Harry pulled his head out of sight as McNair's face appeared in Hagrid's window, staring out at Buckbeak. Then they heard Fudge.
We have to read you the official notice of execution, Hagrid. I'll make it quick. Then you and McNair need to sign it. McNair, you're supposed to listen too. That's a procedure.
McNair's face vanished from the window. It was now or never.
"Wait here," Harry whispered to Hermione. "I'll do it."
As Fudge's voice started again, Harry darted out from behind his tree, vaulted the fence into the pumpkin patch, and approached Buckbeak. "It is the decision of the committee for the disposal of dangerous creatures that the Hippogriff Buckbeak, hereafter called the Condemned, shall be executed on the 6th of June at sundown." Careful not to blink, Harry stared up into Buckbeak's fierce orange eyes once more and bowed. Buckbeak sank to his scaly knees and then stood up again. Harry began to fumble with a knot of the rope, untying Buckbeak to the fence.
"Sentenced to execution by beheading, to be carried out by the committee's appointed executioner, Walden McNair."
"Come on, Buckbeak," Harry murmured.
"Come on, we're going to help you. Quietly, quietly."
"As witnessed below, Hagrid, you sign here." Harry threw all his weight onto the rope, but Buckbeak had dug in his front feet. "Well, let's get this over with," said the reedy voice of the committee member from inside Hagrid's cabin. "Hagrid, perhaps it will be better if you stay inside."
"No, I want to be with him. I don't want to be him to be alone."
Footsteps echoed from within the cabin.
"Buckbeak, move," Harry hissed.
Harry tugged harder on the rope around Buckbeak's neck. The hippogriff began to walk, rustling its wings irritably. They were still 10 feet from the forest, in plain view of Hagrid's back door.
"One moment, please, McNair," came Dumbledore's voice. "You need to sign, too."
The footsteps stopped. Harry heaved on the rope. Buckbeak snapped his beak and walked a little faster. Hermione's white face was sticking out from behind a tree.
"Hurry, Harry!"
Harry could hear Dumbledore's voice talking from within the cabin. He gave the rope another wrench. Buckbeak broke into a grudging trot. They had reached the trees.
"Quick, quick," Hermione moaned, darting out from behind the tree, seizing the rope too, and adding her weight to make Buckbeak move faster.
Harry looked over his shoulder. They were now blocked from sight, They couldn't see Hagrid at all. "Stop," he whispered to Hermione. "They might hear us." Hagrid's back door opened with a bang. Harry, Hermione, and Buckbeak stood quite still. Even the hippogriff seemed to be listening intently. Silence then. "Where is it?" said the reedy voice of the committee member. "Where's the beast?" "It was tied here," said the executioner furiously. "I just saw it, just here." "How extraordinary," said Dumbledore. There was a note of amusement in his voice. "Beaky," said Hagrid huskily. There was a swishing noise and the thud of an axe. The executioner seemed to have swung it into the fence in anger. And then came the howlings, and this time they could hear Hagrid's words through his sobs. "Gone, gone. Bless his little beak, he's gone. Must have pulled himself free. Beaky, you clever boy." Buckbeak started to strain against the rope, trying to get back to Hagrid. Harry and Hermione tightened their grip and dug their heels into the forest floor to stop him. "Someone untied him," the executioner was snarling. "We should search the grounds, the forest." "McNair, if Buckbeak has indeed been stolen, do you really think the thief will have let him away on foot?" said Dumbledore, still sounding amused. "Search the skies, if you will. Hagrid, I could do with a cup of tea, or a large brandy." "Of course, Professor," said Hagrid, who sounded weak with happiness. "Come on in." Harry and Hermione listened closely. They heard footsteps, the soft cursing of the executioner, the snap of the door, and then silence once more. "Now what?" whispered Harry, looking around. "We have to hide here," said Hermione, who looked very shaken. "Then we need to wait until they've gone back to the castle. Then we wait until it's safe to fly Buckbeak up to Sirius's window. He won't be there for another couple hours. Well, this is going to be difficult." She looked over her shoulder into the depths of the forest. The sun was setting now. "We're going to have to move," said Harry, thinking hard. "We've got to be able to see the Whomping Willow, or we won't know what's going on." "Okay," said Hermione, keeping a firmer grip on Buckbeak's rope. "We've got to keep out of sight, remember?" They moved around the edge of the forest, darkness falling thickly around them, until they were hidden by a clump of trees through which they could make out the willow. "There's Ron," Harry said suddenly. A dark figure was sprinting across the lawn, and its shout echoed through the night air. "Get away from him! Get away! Scabbers, come here!" And then they saw two more figures materialize out of nowhere. Harry watched himself and Hermione chasing after Ron. Then he saw Ron dive. "Gotcha! Get off, you stinking cat!" "There's Sirius," said Harry. The great shape of the dog had bounded out from the roots of the willow. They saw him bowl Harry over, then seize Ron. "Looks even worse from over here, doesn't it?" said Harry, watching the dog pull Ron into the roots. "Look, I just got walloped by the tree, and so did you. This is weird." The Whomping Willow was creaking and lashing out with its lower branches. They could see themselves darting here and there, trying to reach the trunk. And then the tree froze. "That was Crookshanks pressing the knot," said Hermione. "And there we go," Harry muttered. "We're in." The moment they disappeared, the tree began to move again. Seconds later, they heard footsteps quite close by. Dumbledore, McNair, Fudge, and the old committee member were making their way up to the castle. "Right after we'd gone down the passage," said Hermione. "If only Dumbledore had come with us." "McNair and Fudge would have come too," Harry said bitterly. "I bet you anything Fudge would have told McNair to murder Sirius on the spot." They watched the four men climb the castle steps and disappear from view. For a few moments, the scene was deserted. And then... "Here comes Lupin," said Harry, as they saw another figure sprinting down the stone steps and hurrying toward the willow. Harry looked up at the sky. Clouds were obscuring the moon completely. They watched Lupin seize a broken branch from the ground and prod the knot on the trunk. The tree stopped fighting, and Lupin, too, disappeared into the gap in its roots. "If only he'd grabbed the cloak," said Harry. "It's just lying there." He turned to Hermione. If we dashed out now and grabbed it, Snape never would be able to get in. Harry, we mustn't be seen. How can you just stand there? He asked Hermione fiercely. Just stand here and watch it happen. He hesitated. I'm going to grab the cloak. Harry, no! Hermione seized the back of Harry's robes, not a moment too soon. Just then they heard a burst of song. It was Hagrid making his way up to the castle, singing at the top of his voice and waving slightly as he walked. A large bottle was swinging from his hands. See, Hermione whispered. See what would have happened? We've got to keep out of sight. No, Buckbeak. The hippogriff was making frantic attempts to get to Hagrid again. Harry seized his rope again, straining to hold Buckbeak back. They watched Hagrid meander tipsily up to the castle. He was gone. Buckbeak stopped fighting to get away. His head drooped sadly. Barely 2 minutes later, the castle doors flew open yet again, and Snape came charging out of them, running toward the willow. Harry's fists clenched as they watched Snape skid to a halt next to the tree, looking around. He grabbed the cloak and held it up. Get your filthy hands off it, Harry snarled under his breath. Shh! Snape seized the branch Lupin had used to freeze the tree, prodded the knot, and vanished from view as he put on the cloak. So that's it, said Hermione quietly. We're all down there. And now we've just got to wait until we come back again. She took the end of Buckbeak's rope and tied it securely around the nearest tree, then sat down on the dry ground, arms around her knees. Harry, she said, there's still something I don't understand. Why didn't the Dementors get Sirius? I remember them coming, and then I think I passed out. There were so many of them. Harry sat down too. He explained what he'd seen, how, as the nearest Dementor had lowered its mouth to Harry's, a large silver something had come galloping across the lake and forced the Dementors to retreat. Hermione's mouth was slightly open by the time Harry had finished. But what was it? There's only one thing it could have been to make the Dementors go, said Harry. A real Patronus, a powerful one. But who conjured it? Harry didn't say anything. He was thinking back to the person he'd seen on the other side of the lake. He knew who he thought it had been, but how could it have been? Didn't you see what they looked like? Said Hermione eagerly. Wasn't it one of the teachers? No, said Harry. He wasn't a teacher. But he must have been a really powerful wizard to drive all those Dementors away. If the Patronus was shining so brightly, didn't it light him up? Couldn't you see? Yeah, I saw him, Harry said slowly, but maybe I imagined it. I wasn't thinking straight. I passed out right afterwards. Who did you think it was? I think, Harry swallowed, knowing how strange this was going to sound. I think it was my dad. Harry glanced up at Hermione and saw that her mouth was fully open now. She was gazing at him with a mixture of alarm and pity. Harry, your dad's, well, dead, she said quietly. I know that, said Harry quickly. You think you saw his ghost? I don't know. No, he looked solid. But then... Maybe I was seeing things, said Harry. But from what I could see, it looked like him. I've got photos of him. Hermione was still looking at him as though worried about his sanity. I know it sounds crazy, said Harry flatly. He turned to look at Buckbeak, who was digging his beak into the ground, apparently searching for worms. But he wasn't really watching Buckbeak. He was thinking about his father, and about his father's three oldest friends, Mooney, Wormtail, and Padfoot and Prongs. Had all four of them been out on the grounds tonight? Wormtail had reappeared this evening, and everyone thought he was dead. Was it so impossible his father had done the same? Had he been seeing things across the lake? The figure had been too far away to see distinctly, but he felt sure for a moment before he had lost consciousness. The leaves rustled overhead. The moon drifted in and out of sight behind the shifting clouds. Hermione sat with her face toward the willow, waiting. Then at last, after over an hour, here we come, Hermione whispered. She and Harry got to their feet. Buckbeak raised his head. They saw Lupin, Ron, Pettigrew, clambering awkwardly out of the hole in the roots. Then came Hermione, then the unconscious Snape, drifting weirdly upward. And next came Harry and Black. They all began to walk toward the castle. Harry's heart was starting to beat very fast. He glanced up at the sky. Any moment now, the cloud was going to move aside and show the moon. "Harry," Hermione muttered, as though she knew exactly what he was thinking. "We've got to stay put. We mustn't be seen. There's nothing we can do." "So we're just going to let Pettigrew escape all over again?" said Harry quietly. "How do you expect to find a rat in the dark?" snapped Hermione. "There's nothing we can do. We came back to help Sirius. We're not supposed to be doing anything else." "All right." The moon slid out from behind its cloud. They saw the tiny figures across the ground stop. Then they saw movement. "There goes Lupin," Hermione whispered. "He's transforming." "Hermione," Harry said suddenly, "we've got to move." "We mustn't, I keep telling you." "Not to interfere," Harry said. "Lupin's going to run into the forest, right at us." Hermione gasped. "Quick," she moaned, dashing to untie Buckbeak. "Quick, where are we going to go? Where are we going to hide? The Dementors will be coming any minute." "Back to Hagrid's," Harry said. "It's empty now, come on." They ran as fast as they could, Buckbeak cantering along behind them. They could hear the werewolf howling behind them. The cabin was in sight. Harry skidded to the door, wrenched it open, and Hermione and Buckbeak flashed behind him. Harry threw himself after them and bolted the door. Fang the boarhound barked loudly. "Shh, Fang, it's us," said Hermione, hurrying over and scratching his ears to quiet him. "That was really close," she said to Harry. "Yeah," Harry was looking out the window. It was much harder to see what was going on from here. Buckbeak seemed very happy to find himself back in Hagrid's house. He lay down in front of the fire, folded his wings contentedly, and seemed ready for a good nap. "I think I'd better go outside again, you know," said Harry. "I can't see what's going on. We won't know when it's time." Hermione looked up suspiciously. "I'm not going to try to interfere," said Harry quickly. "But if we don't see what's going on, how are we going to know when it's time to rescue Sirius?" "Well, okay. I'll wait here with Buckbeak," Hermione said. "But Harry, be careful. There's a werewolf out there and the Dementors." Harry stepped outside again and edged around the cabin. He could hear yelping in the distance. That meant the Dementors were closing in on Sirius. He and Hermione would be running to him at any moment. Harry stared across the lake, his heart doing a kind of drum roll in his chest. Whoever had sent that Patronus would be appearing in a second. For a fraction of a second, he stood irresolute in front of Hagrid's door. He must not be seen, he thought. But he didn't want to be seen. He wanted to do the scene. He had to know. And there were the Dementors. They were emerging out of darkness from every direction, gliding across the edges of the lake. They were moving away from where Harry stood to the opposite bank. He wouldn't have to get near them. Harry began to run. He had no thought in his head except his father. If it was him, if it really was him, he had to know. He had to find out. The lake was coming nearer and nearer, but there were no signs of anybody. On the opposite bank, he could see tiny glimmers of silver, his own attempts at a Patronus. There was a bush at the very edge of the water. Harry threw himself behind it, peering desperately through the leaves. On the opposite bank, the glimmers of silver were suddenly extinguished. A terrified excitement shot through him any moment now. "Come on," he muttered, staring about. "Where are you? Dad, come on." But no one came. Harry raised his head to look at the circle of Dementors across the lake. One of them was lowering its hood. It was time for the rescuer to appear. but no one was coming to help this time. And then it hit him. He understood. He hadn't seen his father. He had seen himself. Harry flung himself out from behind the bush and pulled out his wand. "Expecto Patronum," he yelled. And out of the end of his wand burst not a shapeless cloud of mist, but a blinding, dazzling silver animal. He screwed up his eyes, trying to see what it was. It looked like a horse. It was galloping silently away from him, across the black surface of the lake. He saw it lower its head and charge at the swarming Dementors. Now it was galloping around and around the black shapes on the ground, and the Dementors were falling back, scattering, retreating into the darkness. They were gone. The Patronus turned. It was cantering back toward Harry across the silver surface of the water. It wasn't a horse. It wasn't a unicorn, either. It was a stag. It was shining brightly as the moon above, and it was coming back to him. It stopped on the bank. Its hooves made no mark on the soft ground as it stared at Harry with its large, silver eyes. Slowly, it bowed its antlered head, and Harry realized. "Prongs," he whispered. But as his trembling fingertips stretched out toward the creature, it vanished. Harry stood there, hands still outstretched. Then, with a great leap of his heart, he heard hooves behind him. He whirled around and saw Hermione dashing toward him, dragging Buckbeak behind her. "What did you do?" she said fiercely. "You were only going to keep a lookout." "I just saved all our lives," said Harry. "Get behind here. Behind this bush, I'll explain." And Hermione listened to what just happened with her mouth open yet. "Did anyone see you?" "Yes, you haven't been listening. I saw me, but I thought I was my dad. It's okay." "Harry, I can't believe it. You conjured up a Patronus that drove away all those Dementors. That's very, very advanced magic." "I knew I could do it this time," said Harry, "because I'd already done it. Does that make sense?" "I don't know. Harry, look at Snape." Together, they peered around the bush at the other bank. Snape had regained consciousness. He was conjuring stretchers and lifting the limp forms of Harry, Hermione, and Black onto them. A fourth stretcher, no doubt bearing Ron, was already floating at his side. Then, one held out in front of him, he moved them away toward the castle. "Right, it's nearly time," said Hermione tensely, looking at her watch. "We've got about 45 minutes until Dumbledore locks the door to the hospital. We've got to rescue Sirius and get back to the ward before anybody realizes we're missing." They waited, watching the moving clouds reflected in the lake, while the bush next to them whispered in the breeze. Buckbeak, bored, was ferreting for worms again. "Do you reckon he's up there yet?" said Harry, checking his watch. He looked up at the castle and began counting the windows to the right of the west tower. "Look," Hermione whispered. "What's that? Somebody's coming back out of the castle." Harry looked through the darkness. The man was hurrying across the grounds, toward one of the entrances. Something shiny glinted in his belt. "McNair," said Harry. "The executioner. He's gone to get the Dementors. This is it, Hermione." Hermione put her hands on Buckbeak's back, and Harry gave her a leg up. Then he placed his foot on one of the lower branches of the bush and climbed up in front of her. He pulled Buckbeak's rope back over his neck and tied it to the other side of his collar like reins. "Ready?" he whispered to Hermione. "You better hold on to me." He nudged Buckbeak's side with his heels. Buckbeak soared through the dark air. Harry gripped his flanks with his knees, feeling the great wings rising powerfully beneath them. Hermione was holding Harry very tight around the waist. He could hear her muttering, "Oh no, I don't like this. Oh, I really don't like this." Harry urged Buckbeak forward. They were gliding quietly toward the upper floors of the castle. Harry pulled hard on the left side of the rope, and Buckbeak turned. Harry was trying to count the windows flashing past. "Whoa," he said, pulling back as hard as he could. Buckbeak slowed down, and they found themselves at a stop, unless you counted the fact that they kept rising up and down several feet as the hippogriff beat his wings to remain airborne. "He's there," said Harry, spotting Sirius as they rose up behind the window. He reached out, and as Buckbeak's wings fell, was able to tap sharply on the glass. Black looked up. Harry saw his jaw drop. He leapt out from his chair, hurried to the window, and tried to open it, but it was locked. "Stand back," Hermione called to him. She took out her wand, still gripping the back of Harry's robes with her left hand. "Alohomora!" The window sprang open. How? Black said weakly, staring at the hippogriff. "Get on, there's not much time," said Harry, gripping Buckbeak firmly on either side of his sleek neck to hold him steady. "You've got to get out of here. The Dementors are coming, and McNair's gone to get them." Black placed a hand on either side of the window frame and heaved his head and shoulders out of it. It was very lucky he was so thin. In seconds, he managed to fling one leg over Buckbeak's back and pull himself onto the hippogriff behind Hermione. "Okay, Buckbeak, up," said Harry, shaking the rope. "Up to the tower, come on." The hippogriff gave one sweep of its mighty wings, and they were soaring upward, high as the top of the West Tower. Buckbeak landed with a clatter on the battlements, and Harry and Hermione slid off him at once. "Sirius, you better go quick," Harry panted. "They'll reach Flitwick's office any moment. They'll find out you're gone." Buckbeak pawed at the ground, tossing his sharp head. "What happened to the other boy, Ron?" croaked Sirius. "He's going to be okay. He's still out of it, but Madame Pomfrey says she'll be able to make him better. Quick, go." But Black was still staring down at Harry. "How can I ever think?" "Go!" Harry and Hermione shouted together. Black wheeled Buckbeak around, facing the open sky. "We'll see each other again," he said. "You are truly your father's son, Harry." He squeezed Buckbeak's side with his heels. Harry and Hermione jumped back as the enormous wings rose once more. The hippogriff took off in the air. He and his rider became smaller and smaller as Harry gazed after them. And a cloud drifted across the moon, and they were gone. And that's the end of chapter 21. Tomorrow we'll read the last and final chapter, called Owl Post Again. I hope you like that, my sweetheart. I think you found asleep. I love you so much, girl. You're so beautiful. I miss you with all my heart. Sleep well. Good night.